Get into the Word tonight. I want to say hello to Belinda. I know you're watching, so get ready for some faith, praise God, to grow this night. Amen. Matthew chapter 9, this is number 33 in the Healing Example series. Matthew chapter 9, the title of the message tonight is Persistent Faith. Now, you know, we look at all of these examples of different ones in the Bible that have been healed and received the power of God in their lives and drastically changed things for them. And here is yet another example. I would say people that are going through physical issues in their bodies, that they get on the Solid Rock website or go to the YouTube page channel. And you can go through all these Wednesday nights. I mean, my goodness sakes, we've been talking about healing for a long time. And you can get faith built in you. And if I had an issue, I'd go through and I'd listen to all 33 of them. I'd just keep going back over and listening. That's how you get the Word into you. You know, the thing is, you can be full of faith. Faith can grow in you. You realize that. Well, Pastor, I want to have something that really tweaks my ears. You don't need that. What you need is the basics. And you get the basics down, and that becomes so ingrained in you, it's like you know your name the way you know the basics. Or you know the basics the way you know your name, okay? Very important. When you get so full of faith, faith will actually, when you are full of faith and your faith begins to grow in you as you use it, as you exercise it, I mentioned that earlier, you need to use your faith. It grows as you hear, and it's developing as you use it. There is a definite connection and tie to using your faith, walking in the word, and being a doer of that word, and having greater revelation being birthed in you all the time. I'm telling you, the times when I have had greater revelation of things in the word or illumination on a revelation. Of course, this is a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the word we have. The times that I have had the word mean so much more to me and gain a depth in my spirit that seems like, man, I don't even know how that happened, but there's more revelation. There's more. I've got more confidence in the word of God. It was after I took what I knew and it just simply stepped out and did something with it. You know, I've cited examples of, that's why testimonies are so important, but I've cited examples of people that give testimonies. And it was so simple. I just stepped out and I witnessed to this person and they received Christ. Or I just said, could I pray with you? And I laid my hands on this person down at the store and they got healed right in the store. Well, that doesn't happen if you don't step out and do it. Too much time people are waiting for like some wonderful testimony to be birthed in them, but they're not doing what they know to do. Careful of that, okay? You can get so full of faith that the faith will push the fear right out of your life. You know, I mean, a person that keeps hearing the word and hearing the word and hearing the word and hearing the word is getting more and more full of faith all the time. Faith is being built in them. They're hearing this word. The word is coming to them, and they're immersing themselves in it. And as that happens, it's like, I'm not afraid of this anymore. Well, why aren't you afraid of that anymore? I don't know. I just have the word in my life. And what's happening is the faith is rising and it's pushing fear right out the door. You know, fear knocked at the door, faith answered, and nobody was there. You've heard that already, you know. Aren't you afraid? In the name of Jesus, where'd you go? Yeah, Matthew chapter 9, let's look at verse 27. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. See that in verse 27. Thou son of David, have mercy on us. This is annoying to the devil. When somebody is shouting, I'll guarantee you, as these guys were shouting this, have mercy on us, thou son of David, have mercy on us, it was annoying the devil. He was being annoyed by it. Now, religious people get annoyed by folks that are vocal about claiming their rights. I've had people get mad at me because I received something from the Lord. You know, I've told people before, well, the scripture says very plainly, you have not because you ask not. And sometimes you've asked with the wrong motives. So don't get mad at me if I ask with the right motives and God provides. Okay? Amen. I mean, hey, John, do you remember that time the Lord gave a word about something about money? And I knew nothing about it. It was maybe at a prayer on a Wednesday night or something. And a couple days later, he had a huge check come in the mail that you never, I mean, it was like, and that was confirmation. I mean, God gets the glory. I didn't know that. The Spirit of God said it, you know. And I think, hey, when people receive blessings and the Lord is doing something in their life, don't get mad at somebody that receives a great blessing. Say, hey, wait a minute. You know, don't go, why did they get that? Or why did she get that? Or how come that happened to that person? No. Just remember, you're in the same blessing line. If you'll just get in line, shut your mouth about what other people are receiving, you can be in that same. You'll stay in line. And eventually, you'll get to the window too. And then you'll have the testimony of what God did in your life. Sure. Whether it's healing, provision, there are so many things. But do not get envious of one another. And don't get mad if somebody gets blessed before you. You know, that's the workers in the vineyard parable. You remember that. You know, a guy starts at 7 in the morning, agrees for such and such amount of pay. Another guy comes in at like 10 in the morning, and I'm just making up these times now, but then some and some midday or a little after, and then somebody came in like at 4 o'clock, quitting at 5, and they get the same money as the guy who started at 7. Now, would that not tick you off if you're the guy that started at 7? I work from 7 o'clock. I'm here busting myself to do this job. And the guy goes, hey, you agreed to the money. Yeah, but why did you pay him so much when he comes in at 4 o'clock and gets the same money I get? There's the temptation to get upset. How come they got blessed? How come? I mean, they're pretty new in Jesus, and look how you healed them, and I've been standing for 25 years. Careful. Careful, right?
Amen.
Amen. We're all in the same line if we'll stay there and, again, keep our mouths quiet about what other people receive, and just be bold enough like these two to, hey, have mercy on me, Lord. You know, they were very vocal and they were active. Amen. But this particular situation here, this annoys the devil, and it annoys religious people too, I don't mind telling you. Have mercy on us. When people get vocal about their faith, that annoys religious people. And you can tell if you have any religiosity in you if you get annoyed when people are confessing the word of God. By his stripes, you're healed. What do you mean? I can see you're not. Oh, wait a minute. I didn't say it looked like I'm healed. I didn't say it looked like I'm prospering in this. I didn't say, I'm saying what God says about me, not looking at what I actually have. You know, you start looking at what you have and you start talking about what you have, you're going to end up talking about what you don't have. Amen. Because the list is short of what you have and the list is longer of what you need. So, you know, I mean, I'm looking over here and that person received their healing, or that person received that financial blessing, or this, look at this one. They met the person that they've been believing God, and look, now they're going to get married and blah, 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 and all that kind of thing. And it's like, stop looking around and get your nose in the word and be a doer of the word that you're hearing, and watch, you'll have the testimony. You'll get up to the blessing window. It always happens if you stay in line. Amen. Look at verse 28. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus saith unto them, believe ye that I'm able to do this? They said unto him, yes, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. Now, you need to be very cautious what you listen to. Okay? Because as I was talking about, you know, these men crying out, and then it annoying the devil, it will annoy people when you're speaking the word. Be careful who you listen to. Be very careful of that. You know, not everybody that stands up to minister the word is going to tell you the uncompromised word, the uncompromised truth. They'll mix compromise in. And here's what I mean by that. Well, you know, yeah, it's God's will to heal, but sometimes he says, no, it's not my will this time for you. It's my will for that one, or it's my will for that one, but it's not for you. You are not going to be blessed this time because my will is that you be poor for a while yet. No, no, no. The word says something contrary to that, doesn't it? Okay, so be careful and cautious what you listen to. Be careful what you talk about or speak. If all you're ever doing is talking about your problems, talking about what you don't have, you're going to be reinforcing your own defeat. Put the word in you. It'll strengthen you. Now, these two in this example were not quiet. They were vocal. They were not passive. They were active. Notice Jesus didn't say, listen what Jesus didn't say. Y'all with me? Listen to what he didn't say in verse 29 when he touched their eyes and he said, according to my power, be it done to you. Notice he didn't say, according to this strong anointing that's on me, be it done unto you. No, what did he say? He said, according to your faith, be it done unto you. God's always on. We just need to open up the pathway to receive from him. Do you hear me? You know, there are those that want to water down the message about healing. But it's very important. It's very important that you and I, we cannot quit because we don't understand some things. Write this down. Don't quit because you don't understand. Don't quit because you don't understand. Too much of the time, people quit and back away from the word because they didn't understand something. They didn't understand why that blessing didn't come. They didn't understand why this situation didn't change. They didn't understand why, this happened or that happened or what have you, or why it's taking so long for me. They didn't understand, so they ended up quitting. Let me refer you back to John chapter 6 when Jesus gave the discourse on you must eat my flesh and drink my blood. You remember? How many of y'all remember that? And there were people around, not just the 12, but a whole bunch of other disciples, it kind of flipped out when they heard him saying this. You remember that? They're like, eat your flesh. You know, we're not cannibals. What do you mean? What is he talking about, eat his flesh and drink his blood? Who are we following here? And then the Bible said in John 6, verse 66, isn't it interesting? John 6, verse 66. Now, you're going, it's just three numbers, okay? But in John 6, verse 66, it said, and many of those disciples turned and left and walked no more with Jesus. That's probably the saddest verse in the Bible. They quit because they didn't understand. Have you ever come to a place in your life where you didn't understand why something was going the way it was going, or why it didn't change like you were confessing and believing, or why this didn't change, or why that didn't, why this happened? How come it looks like this? How come it's looking like it is right now in this nation? And a lot of people go, well, just fooey on, I'm not even going to vote. We know there was corruption in the last election. We understand that. We also understand that we have to stand for this nation. And you can't just cave in and, well, I don't understand how all that works, so I'm just not even going to vote. Well, that's the last thing that you should do. You know, you need to vote. But how many Christians just quit when they don't understand something? We need to be very cautious. Well, it's like, well, now, Pastor Dan, I tried tithing. I tried tithing for a month. And it didn't work. Yeah, you better hang in there for longer than that. Because it does take faith to receive when you do tithe. Amen. Tithing is not something that you try. That's called tipping. And there's a difference between tipping and tithing. Amen. Amen. Spare change? You got a little spare change? Okay, well, here's some spare change, God. I'll throw it up in the air, and what you catch, you keep, and what hits the ground, I keep. Take what you want. I guess you didn't want very much. No. You don't try it. You don't try it for a short period of time. I tried that confessing the word. I tried believing God for healing. It works for some people, but I guess God just said no to me. Huh? Careful. Careful. Persistence is necessary, and you have to have persistent faith. Amen. Do you really think the 12 disciples, the 12, you know, the 12 that followed Jesus and were his close confidants and people that were there with him, that followed him everywhere and his entourage, you think those 12 understood that message? Eat my flesh and drink my blood. Good night, man. They didn't understand some of the even more basic messages. You think they got that one? Well, praise God they didn't quit. They hung in there. Amen. But persistence is vital. Now, these two guys in this example here in Matthew 9, these two men that were blind and ended up receiving their healing, they chased Jesus into the house, for crying out loud. I say chased. I mean, they followed him. Where'd he go? Where'd he go? Well, he went in the house. Well, show us the way. Where's the house? It's over there. Well, and so they made their way to the house, and then they go in, and they find him in, and thou, son of David, have mercy on us. They were persistent. They didn't back off, and they were vocal about it. Now, you know good and well it ticked the disciples off. You know that stuff was not handled well by them. Why don't you tell them to be quiet, Lord? You know, you hear that on occasion in the scriptures where they were trying to get them to keep somebody quiet. But that doesn't irritate the Lord when a person's crying out in faith. It irritates people who want to play the religious game and want to be discouraging to others and say, that doesn't work. I tried it 3 times. You know, so I was like, well, I tried that, yeah. And nothing in the word says to be a trier of the word. It says to be a doer of the word. How many times does it take for you to say, I don't know. If I confess it 4,325 times, I'll be healed on the 4,325th time that I say it. No, nothing says that. I've had God do things quickly, and I've had it where I've had to stand in faith for a long period of time before. Now, of course, we like the quick results because we, by nature, are people that like things now. Your flesh wants it now. You go to a fast food joint, and you stand there, and like we went to Chick-fil-A the other day. And now y'all know Chick-fil-A is probably the most prosperous restaurant in Stillwater. You know that, right? I mean, that place is jam-packed every day of the week. You go in there at 10 o'clock at night, and it's jam-packed. Like, what is going on? Well, the man that owns it is a believer. Amen. A friend of mine, too. But, you know, you look at that, and you're going, okay, I ordered this. I should have it in less than a minute. Well, it doesn't happen like that. You know, a lot of times bachelors, guys that are, you know, they're not real good at cooking, they like to use the microwave to warm stuff up, and it's all microwave. Now, Tom, I know you're, first off, not a bachelor, but secondly, you are a cook. But for me, it was Wolf Brand chili and hot dogs. More than I could do that. Lisa, I'll tell you, I was good at that. I really was. Larry, you probably would have liked one of my Wolf Brand dogs. Till the day I put it on too high of a setting. Joan, you would have loved this because I blew that hot dog, the kingdom come. Oh, man, I had such a mess. Yeah, boy. And the chili was all in there, too, and it was all over the window. And oh, my gosh, man. Yeah, I think you're supposed to cover them, aren't you? And probably not run it that high and that long, you know. But we like things fast. We like it done fast. Get it quick. You know, we don't like to wait. And people are like that regarding the things of God, and it kind of carries over. But persistence is necessary. Go to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews 6, got to be persistent. Nothing guarantees you fast results. Well, we love the suddenlies. We love the miracles. We're believing for miracles. I am always believing God to do things for people that have needs and do it, you know, okay, I want it in his timing, and I'm not going to say, well, I'm believing for this to take 5 years. No, I'm believing for it to manifest now, okay? But I also am smart enough to know that if it doesn't, I'm not going to let go of the word. Amen. Hebrews 6, verse 12, look at it. We read this on Sunday. It says that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Look at that. You can't be lazy about this. You have to look at the examples in the Word. There are people that walked in this faith and patience. Faith and patience are the power twins. Faith and patience. Patience is not sitting there and twiddling your thumbs and just waiting for something to change without you doing anything. If those blind men had done that, they never would have been healed. They were aggressive. They were not passive. Okay? And that kind of persistence is necessary. Write this down. Religion will make you a beggar, not a believer. And there are a lot of Christians today that have bought into that philosophy that we have to beg God to get things to come to pass. Oh, dear Lord. And then change your voice, you know. And go into the King James, Elizabethan English to get God's ear. I'll tell you what really attracts God and has you bend his ear when you start talking the Word and you speak it in faith, not the kind of English you use. God will answer prayers. And I've heard this. I've heard ministers on national TV use the most horrible, horrific grammar and syntax and get miraculous things happen in their ministries. God's not looking at your syntax or your grammar. He's not listening to the tone of your voice if you get a quiver in your voice when you speak. It's not in that. It's not there. It's not in the emotion. Emotions, I was talking with Jim and Jerry about this the other day. Emotions are given to us from the Lord. God gave us emotions. Oh, and they're wonderful. Emotions you just can't live by them. Okay? You start living by emotions, and you get in trouble. Because your emotions will react. And as believers, we are to take the Word and respond to the situation with the wisdom of God. Not react and give a knee-jerk reaction, you know. I can get emotional at the drop of a hat. I mean, I used to laugh at my dad when we'd be sitting there watching Lassie, when Lassie was on. Y'all remember Lassie? It was on at 6 o'clock on Sunday nights, maybe 7 o'clock. But anyway, we'd watch Lassie, and I'd watch my dad. My dad was the picture of a man to me. He was strong. He was, you know, dad could do anything. That's the way I viewed it. And we're sitting there watching Lassie, and I just glance over, and his eyes are all glassed over. I'm like, as a little boy, I'll never forget. And I'm like, I'll go over there and look at him. Are you crying? Oh, just go sit down. I'm like, until the day that man passed away, he'd cry at Lassie or other things. And, you know, you'd think, oh, my dad was a World War II vet. I mean, saw a lot of combat. I mean, the man, he was a man's man. But he was tender. And could cry. And I feel that same way. I mean, I can get emotional. I get emotional just talking about my dad. You know. And so there's nothing wrong with emotions. God gave us emotions. We just can't let our lives be directed by our emotions. That's how people make stupid decisions, right? Get emotional about buying a car you can't afford. Or buying this you can't afford. You ever do that? Not even going to ask. Just anyway, you know, just don't do it. Amen. Quickly, let's go over to 1 Timothy chapter 6. So we're not supposed to be slothful, not lazy, but follow those who through faith and patience is constancy or consistency, inherit the promises. 1 Timothy chapter 6, you know this verse number 12. It says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. There is a doctrine that's going around, and of course, we all know the doctrine concerning grace, and grace is wonderful. I mean, hey, God provided everything for us in and through his grace. Grace is wonderful. Can I hear an amen? Grace is God's part. So what God gave by and through his grace, you and I, our part is to receive those things by faith. Grace is God's part. Faith is our part. But some have said it's only grace. It's grace only, and you don't have to do anything. What you need to do, brother, is let go and let God. How many of y'all have ever heard that? You've heard that little phrase, let go and let God. And on the surface, you know, it sounds really good if you're talking about letting go of the anxiety, letting go of the worry, letting go of the fear. In fact, cast out the fear, cast off the anxiety, cast it onto the Lord, the care. But if you're letting go and let God means that I don't do anything and I just sit back and wait on the Lord, and what will be, these two in this story did not just sit back. They aggressively went after the promise, and they made a bold confession, and they couldn't even see where he went. And they're fumbling and stumbling to find Jesus, but they knew if they could get to him, they could get an answer to prayer, and praise God they did, amen? Fight the good fight of faith. Doesn't sound like let go and let God, does it? What will be. No, that's pacifism. That's not what the Lord is saying. And so fighting the good fight of faith is not letting go and not doing anything. And I'm just going to sit back and I'm just going to wait. He's going to show me how I'm supposed to receive this miracle. Now, you're supposed to fight the fight of faith, and you're supposed to be rebuking the devil and taking authority over the things of the enemy all along. If you didn't fight the fight of faith like you did, there's no telling. Well, there is telling, but we're not going there. You're healed and whole and well as a result. If you didn't fight the fight of faith, Mr. Moulton, you would not be here. If your wife hadn't fought the fight of faith with you, okay, the list goes on, Sherry. The list goes on. There's how many of you in here have fought the fight? And you don't just sit back and go, oh, what will be? No, 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 that's not taught in the Word of God. Now, casting anxiety and care of a situation and worry and fears, you cast that stuff off, yes. You let go of those things. You don't grab a hold of worry and hold it close to you. No, 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 you get that off. But that's not what most people are talking about when they say, let go and let God. They mean just sit back and watch what God's going to do. Well, he will do, but you need to be a doer of the word. Well, amen. So it's really a wrong concept to think that way. So healing is bought and paid for, amen, but you and I have to receive it. Healing is bought and paid for. Your provision is bought and paid for, but you have to receive it. And it doesn't happen. God doesn't just push it on you. I said that the other day. I was talking with somebody. I said, well, if God was just going to do stuff, he'd just save everybody. And he'd push salvation onto everybody, and the baptism of the Spirit, everybody would be Spirit-filled. He'd just push it on people, and then because everybody's saved, the catching away of the saints would occur, and we'd go home. Because the whole body of Christ was saved. Well, of course, the body of Christ, but all of mankind was saved. God doesn't do that. It's choice. It's choice. And you and I have to receive. We have to learn how to receive. Now, it takes perseverance. Hebrews, we just were in Hebrews 6, verse 12, but jump over to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10. And talking about persistence. Talking about persistence. Look at verse number 38. Now, the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. You see that? The just live by faith. Fight the good fight of faith. The just or the justified or the righteous live this way. And you know what? Look at verse 39. We're not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. We're not drawing back. We're not pulling back. We're not going to let go and let God and not do anything. No, the Bible tells us there's some things that we're supposed to step up and do. And you need to be aggressive in your faith. You need to be vocal with your faith. You need to say what the word says about you. You need to confess it boldly. Don't play this, well, it's a silent confession. The two don't go together. Silent confession. Kind of like I have a silent, what do some people say? A silent prayer request. Something like that. Have you ever heard? Unspoken. That, there you go. Well, excuse me. I had somebody say, I've got an unspoken prayer request. Oh, the dickens, you say. I don't know what in the world you're talking about. Okay, you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Now, do you know what they were talking about? No, because they weren't talking. Now, that's not that hard to figure out. But if somebody is unspeaking something, you know what I'm saying. They're not speaking it. How are you going to know what they're saying? You need to give it to me. Let me have the prayer request so I can get in faith. You know, it's unspoken. It's like, no. You can't do that. You don't draw back, do you? You're going to receive. You know, you remember on Christmas morning when you were a kid? Anybody here remember Christmas morning when you were a child? It's not that long ago, is it? Well, it's longer ago than some. It's not that long ago. But as kids, we always, mom and dad would, you know, six kids and everyone got, I don't know. Ask my mom, she'll tell you. We were nuts, you know, and I'm like, well, all these presents, we have some old black and white pictures, and there are so many gifts around the bottom of the tree. But one thing my parents did instill in us is that, you know, we celebrated Christ's birth, and get this, on Christmas Eve night, that's when we opened our presents, okay? But we all had to get together, and dad and mom, that we talk about the story of Jesus, of his birth and all that, and our Christmas Eve dinner every year was chop suey. Why? I like chop suey, but believe in God for the Chinese people to be born again, I guess. I don't know what it was. But chop suey, ask my mom. It was chop suey. Wasn't it, Pastor John? It was chop suey, wasn't it? You were probably too little, and you wouldn't eat it anyway, so it didn't matter. But remember on Christmas, and like ours was Christmas Eve, and some, you know, Christmas morning, the kids go down, and they, you know, you had to tell them, okay, that one's yours, and that one's yours, and we'd look for our names on the packages, and oh, there it is, and you just start ripping into it. Now, Joan, I know that your tradition in the family is to go one by one. Man, I have suffered with that for 31 years. I tell you what, man. Okay, let's watch this one open. No. This is not the way we do it. Everybody open, you know. It's like, rip them open. And we as kids, everybody, there'd be paper flying. The dog would be in the middle of the paper flying, and everyone's just, Kids receive very easily. I didn't go, oh, Dad, I'm not worthy to have this toy here that you bought me. I'm not worthy. It's when you get older you get that stupid stuff thrown at you. And people start buying into that. I'm not worthy. No one said you were worthy. But by the blood of Jesus, you've been made worthy, so receive it. Receive your healing. Receive the prosperity. Receive the blessing. Receive it. Grab it. Amen. Let's close with James 5. We're just right next door to James. Just go there and I'll show you something right quick. And this is where we'll stop. Where am I? Hebrews in the book of James. Here we go. James 5. Look at verse 6. 11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job. You see that? And have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. The NIV doesn't read patience of Job. It reads the perseverance of Job. And that's what you need to see. Because when people think of patience, they think of sitting back and let go and let God and just wait and God will do it. And we're just going to sit here and what will be that kind of attitude. No. The perseverance. Job went through some terrible stuff, but a lot of it was because of his own mouth. Amen. And the people he's hanging out with and listening to. But look at the end of the verse. It says, the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. I'll tell you something right now. Those two men in Matthew chapter 9 were crying out for the mercy of God. And that verse confirms the fact he is merciful and full of this tenderness toward his people, toward wanting, go ahead and stand to your feet, wanting people to be set free of the torment that the enemy has thrown at them. So it's going to take some persistence on our part and understand that grace is what God has done and faith is your part. You need to believe what he has provided for us. And so go after it aggressively. Don't sit back and think, well, I'm going to just let the Lord do. Lord knows what needs to be done. He said, according to your faith, be it done unto you. And they made a confession. Do you believe I'm able to do this? Oh, yeah. Do you believe that the Lord is able to do what he says? Do you believe the Lord's able to do what his word says he'll do? If you do, then you need to vocalize that and be saying it. Marvin, I appreciate that article about, you know, the lady was putting it in the future tense. God's gonna heal me. God's gonna heal me shows a lack of revelation of what was done at the cross over 2,000 years ago. And so it's in the future. God's going to. Careful. You need to recognize the past tense of God's word. We did a series on that years ago about the past tense of God's word. By his stripes you were healed. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Very, very important that you get that correct in your thinking. We're not trying to get God to do something. God's already provided it. You're the one that needs to receive it. Amen. Receive it. And get vocal about it. And be aggressive about it. And kick the devil in the teeth with the word of God. Amen. Well, let me say this, and I'll close with this. Stay on it now. Don't wait until something shows up for you to try to build your faith up. Get building now. Get your faith strong now. So when a trial, a test, or a temptation comes, it's not from God. But when it shows up, you've got enough faith to run that rat right out of the room. Amen? Amen? Bow your head with me. Father, we thank you and praise you for this time together tonight. We thank you for the word. We thank you and praise you, Lord God, for your goodness. We thank you that you are the healer. Oh, yes, you are. Yes, you are. You are the provider. I thank you for it. I bless you and praise you tonight and give you glory for that, sir, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the example of healing we see of the two blind men and the aggression that they had in their faith and not willing to just back off and sit back, but actually went after their healing and received it. So I thank you for that. I praise you for that tonight. Give you honor and thanksgiving, sir, and we'll be doers of what we've heard tonight and be more aggressive in our faith. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.